Have you ever had the feeling that you are not who you think you are? You know, like that sensation that how I see myself is maybe not actually how others see me or who I really am. That leads me to thinning hair. So a couple of weeks ago, I literally got the mirror out. Men, you know what I'm talking about. Not just men lose hair, men and women. And you get in the mirror and you main mirror and then pocket mirror, and you start checking out the back of your head. And I had one of those moments where I'm looking, you know, you're just kind of checking up, making sure you still have hair, you know, at 42, you're just holding on to the thinning hair you have. And all of a sudden I was like, I think I might have a bald spot on the back of my head. Like I might be that guy. Now there's nothing wrong with that guy. I just don't see that guy. I years ago, my dad was preaching and a buddy of mine were sitting next to each other, true story. And we had the screens. Those of you that have been in the Kirkland location, the Kirkland campus, you see the screens, and we happened to be on the front row. And there was a camera angle that actually picked up the back of our heads and picked up my dad preaching. And we're sitting there, and he later told me, I kept thinking, who's the bald guy next to Judah? And it was him, right? You can't. Chelsea's laughing off camera. This is fantastic. I'm getting my wife to laugh. But it is interesting, isn't it? How we see ourselves is not always accurate. And, you know, trauma, which all of the mental health experts are telling us that 2020 can be summed up in one word, trauma. We are now officially in 2021. But if you don't mind, I want us to look back for a second and ask ourselves, not only what can we learn from 2020, but what can we do going forward in 2021? Trauma, they say. Well, what is trauma? It's deeply distressing or disturbing experiences. Deeply distressing or disturbing experiences. Yeah, that's 2020. That's pretty accurate. In fact, even into 2021, we see disturbing developments in the news in Washington, D.C. or other places. And we ask ourselves, when is the trauma going to stop? Trauma is all around us. In the information age in which we live, they're saying we are processing more distressing, disturbing experiences. They're saying that we actually are even, we're empathizing or attempting to empathize with other people, and we are experiencing emotional fatigue. One person coined it compassion fatigue, empathy fatigue. In other words, we have been over inundated with distressing, disturbing experiences, whether it be our own or others, and we are officially fatigued. Maybe as you're watching this, you're like, Judah, I really tuned in today to watch something positive and something good. Have you ever had the feeling that you are not who you think you are? Trauma can do that. Trauma, something traumatic can happen, and you can start to question who you are. Who am I? What am I actually about? Where do I fit? Not only what do people say about me or see me as, but who am I actually? And it's kind of one of these, who am I? I guess this sermon is that, isn't it? This sermon is kind of like, well, let's actually look and discover who am I really? Not who do I think I am? Who do I hope I am? Who do I want to become? Who did I used to be? But who am I? I want to take the next 4 weeks and talk about trauma. Now, I have to admit, as we approach this subject, and today we're talking about trauma and identity, wherever you are, how trauma affects the way you see yourself, the what you believe about yourself, who you actually are at your core, deeply distressing and disturbing experiences can disrupt how we see ourselves, or more importantly, who God says we are. The next 4 weeks will be dedicated to trauma and how it affects us, and most importantly, how Jesus heals us, how Jesus helps us in trauma. The series is going to be called Trauma. It should be called How Jesus Heals Us of Our Trauma, How Jesus Helps Us in Our Trauma. That's what we're going to look at for the next 4 weeks. I want to respond to the culture that's crying out, trauma, trauma, trauma. What do we do now? I want us to go to the ways of Jesus, the person of Jesus, and see how he is, again, the answer, the antidote, the healing that we need for the trauma we have experienced. Have we ever, at least in my lifetime, think about modern human history. In modern human history, have we ever experienced global trauma like this? I suggest maybe we haven't. This may be the first global traumatic experience. We're all in this together. Whether you are in the United States of America, whether you are in Japan watching, or South Africa, wherever you may be watching, we have experienced trauma. Trauma that can leave you or me wondering, who am I really? Who am I really? Have you ever had, we'll just kind of make this a personal moment. Have you ever had that weird thought that if something really horrific happened, how much you and I might freak out? Have you ever had kind of those chilling thoughts, maybe late at night that you don't tell anyone about? Like, if this happened or if that happened, I probably, and then you go, wait, does that mean I'm not who I think I am? Am I not as composed? Do I not have the character I thought I had? Who am I? Are you like me? Do you feel fickle? 2020 has made me feel fickle. One minute I'm raising my hands, worshiping Jesus. The next I'm punching a wall in frustration and agitation. Judah, did you really punch a wall? Twice, to be exact. Yes. And we will be patching it up. It's not that big of a hole because I don't punch that hard. But the point is, we have been through trauma. And like I said, trauma leads us to ask the all-important question, who am I? And that leads me to Peter, because I think Peter went through trauma in Scripture. Now, Peter is one of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus for approximately 3.5 years. He was a very outspoken disciple. We believe he's the oldest of the 12 disciples. He may very well be the only one over 21 years old. And so we see him a lot sharing and talking and, frankly, oversharing. And Peter is going to experience trauma. And here's the question I want us to ask. How will Jesus handle his trauma and help him in his trauma? Now, Peter doesn't really see himself for who he really is. I can prove that. John chapter 13 and verse 36 picks up a story where Jesus is actually predicting his crucifixion. He's predicting that he's going to go lay down his life in Golgotha at the cross between two thieves to save the world from its error, its wrong, its sin, its selfishness, which still to this day we see all around us. Jesus is the antidote. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the Savior. And Jesus said, where I'm going, you won't be able to follow, but one day you will follow me there. Talking about the afterlife, talking about eternity, talking about heaven. And Peter says, what do you mean? I'm not able to follow you now. I want to go with you. And then he says it, I'll die for you. Jesus, I'll die for you. Now, Peter says, this is who I am. I'm a lifer. I'm life or death with you, Jesus. Now, what Peter is yet to experience is trauma. Peter is but just a few scenes away, as we read in the New Testament, from deeply distressing and a disturbing experiences. And it's about to happen. So it begins. You fast forward from John chapter 13, you get to John chapter 18, and the story begins to unfold and the trauma increases. Jesus is at a garden. He's there praying in preparation for the pain he's going to go through at the crucifixion. He's got Peter, James, and John, who have gone a little bit further into the olive press, into the olive orchard, if you will, and they're there and they're praying and they're watching Jesus under extraordinary agony and stress and anxiety and pain. And then Jesus stands up and says, after a bunch of different scenarios we won't get into today, he says, the time has come. And at that point, soldiers arrive to arrest Jesus. And so the deeply distressing, disturbing experience begins. Trauma. They come with weapons. They come with torches. And they say, we're looking for Jesus. Jesus says, that's me. They fall over just at the mention of his title, the power in the words of the creator of heaven and earth. The soldiers fall over. They get up. Things get weird. Things get disturbing. Things get distressing. This is a wild experience. They're now arresting God. Men who are made by God are now arresting God. This is cataclysmic. This is wild. Peter gets all stirred up and passionate. He pulls out probably a dagger or a knife, and he cuts off one of the soldiers' ears. We're talking about trauma. We're talking about stress. And everything seems to go still as Jesus picks up the ear of a man called Malchus, which Peter had cut off, and he heals him. And so begins a sequence of events. Jesus is arrested. He's taken away for his mock trial. And Peter follows from a distance, John 18 says. He gets close to the temple where the mock trial will happen, and there he finds a charcoal fire, and he finds people warming themselves in the frigid air of the deep evening by the temple, and he's trying to watch the affairs to make sure Jesus is okay. And so begins, or so continues, further trauma. While Peter is standing there, this is the man who moments ago, if you will, not long ago, said, I'll die for you, Jesus. I'm your guy. I'll never leave you. And then there's a young lady by the charcoal fire near the temple. And she says, wait a second. I recognize you. And he says, what are you talking about? You're one of the disciples. He says, no, I'm not. I don't know the man. On a little further, we don't know if it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. But another person recognizes Peter. Yes, you were with them in the garden. He says, no, I wasn't. I don't know what you're talking about. And then lastly, the Bible says in John 18, a relative of Malchus, a man who is literally connected, related to the man who got his ear cut off and healed back, that cousin or relative says, no, I saw, you were in the garden. Peter goes, no, I wasn't. I wasn't. And then just as Jesus said, the rooster crows three times. And Peter realizes, I'm not who I thought I was. I'm weak. I'm not true. I'm not genuine. I don't have the courageous character I pretended to have. Look what I've done now. And I wonder in your life if the trauma of 2020 has left you feeling weak, weary, not who you thought you were. Maybe there has been a significant deficiency revealed in your character in 2020 that has led you to believe, not just others, but you to believe, I'm a fraud. I'm a fake. Maybe you started the quarantine and this COVID pandemic with faith and resolve and resilience and passion, and you were an aid to everyone. And then it went on and on, and it still persists, this pandemic, and you have grown weary, fatigued, weak. And sometimes you dig deep and you still can't find empathy for others. If you're like me, I watch current events, and sometimes instead of feeling compassion and empathy and the pain of others, I feel anger. I want to blame people. I want to blame groups. I want to blame ideologies. And by doing that, I start to wonder, am I kind? Am I caring? Am I compassionate? It's no wonder, is it? When you go through distressing, disturbing experiences, deeply disturbing and distressing experiences, sometimes they leave you wondering, am I who I thought I was? That's Peter. right? And then we start to think, am I what I have done or not done? Am I what people say about me? Am I what I feel? Who am I? Who am I? Maybe you've lost your job in 2020. Who am I? Maybe you've lost a loved one in 2020. Who am I without them? Who am I without my job? Who am I? No doubt Peter was wondering, who am I? Am I just an ex-fisherman? Am I just a cussing sailor? Is that who I am? Am I the disciple I thought I was? Am I the man of faith I thought I was? Am I the courageous, faithful, godly, spiritual soldier I projected myself to be? Who am I? What will Jesus say to this traumatized man? What will Jesus say to this man who no doubt feels empty, weak, weary, and lost? Who am I? I want to show you how Jesus heals Peter in the midst of all of the trauma he has been through. First thing, John chapter 21. We can go there together as we come to a conclusion. And we'll continue, like I said, for the next few weeks on this subject. It says, later Jesus appeared once again to a group of his disciples by the Lake of Galilee, John 21. It happened one day while Peter, Thomas, the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Jacob, John, and two other disciples were all together. Peter told them, I'm going to go fishing. And they all replied, we'll go with you. So they went out, fished through the night, but caught nothing. That's happened before. Then at dawn, Jesus was standing there on the shore, but the disciples didn't know that it was him. And he yelled, hey guys, did you catch any fish? They, apparently all of them, replied, no, no, not a thing. Throw your net on the other side, Jesus said. You'll catch some. They did, and they caught so many fish they couldn't even pull in the net. By the way, this happened in Luke chapter 5, the day that Peter, the first day, the beginning of the whole rest of his life, it was a miracle catch that got Peter to follow Jesus. And now, after the trauma that he never saw coming, God gives him another miracle catch. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the writer of this gospel, says, it's the Lord. When Peter heard of it, he quickly wrapped his outer garment and he jumped into the lake and he swam to Jesus. The other disciple then brought the boat to the shore, dragging their catch of fish. They weren't far from the land, only about 100 meters. And when they got to the shore, they noticed charcoal fire. Wait, they noticed a charcoal fire? Wait a minute, We just saw a charcoal fire in this storm. First thing Jesus does, when trauma leads you to question who you really are, when you start to wonder, am I who I think I am? Am I who I believe myself to be? Am I who Jesus says I am? Am I forgiven? Am I loved? Am I called? Am I appointed? Am I gifted? Am I talented? Do I have a purpose? Do I have a plan? Is that who I am? Or am I a fraud? Or I'm a fake? Or am I a fake? Here's the first thing Jesus does. He repeats the miracle of your calling, and then he redeems the place of your failure. See, Jesus repeated the miracle catch to send Peter and the guys a message that the way I called you is still in play. You're still called. You're still mine. And then he made a charcoal fire. You ever heard of that term trigger? When people get triggered because of trauma, right? A scent can trigger you because that scent reminds you of when that traumatic experience happened. Jesus takes a trigger and he redeems it. The smell of charcoal fire will now forever remind Peter that he's redeemed. Remind Peter that his denial of the charcoal fire three times is not his end. It's only the beginning of a whole new chapter of dependence upon Jesus. I want to tell everybody out there who follows Jesus, you can't be who you are by yourself, in your own strength, in your power. 2020 will eat you and me alive. The distress is too much. The events are overwhelming. The injustice in this country is all too much to bear. Not even mentioning other countries and continents who share the same air. What does Jesus do? He says, here's the great catch again, because you're still called. Let me cook something on charcoal fire so you know that the charcoal fire is not going to be where you just failed. It'll be the place where you also were restored. What else does Jesus do? He gives them his non-anxious presence. Somebody said, you always know who the leader is because the leader is the person in the room who gives the non-anxious presence. Their presence is there's a resolve. There's a stillness. There's a stateliness. There's a confidence. There's an ease. Jesus projected his sovereignty. He is totally and completely in control. I want you to notice that the Bible says that Jesus, he showed up and he was making them, and it says the disciples, they said nothing. Look what it says. It says that none of the disciples need to ask who it was because everyone knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus came close to them and served them with bread and fish. You know what's wild? There's no words recorded there. Jesus doesn't say, how you guys feeling? He just serves them. And he's with them. Let me tell you what 2021 is going to be for you. You're going to experience the non-anxious presence of the creator of heaven and earth. And I know this isn't popular, but I'm going to be bold enough to tell you, because Jesus once washed the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, you can't wash my feet. I'll wash your feet. And Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me, which is to say, Jesus wants to serve you. Oh, we are called to serve him, for it is our reasonable service to serve Jesus. But we have failed to realize, guess who serves first? Jesus. Can you imagine? Jesus is the cook. Jesus is the server. Jesus serves them a meal. Did you know that in your trauma, one of the antidotes to your trauma is not you serving Jesus, but Jesus serving you, which then brings an overflow of gratitude to where you want to serve him. When you're struggling with who you are, Jesus repeats where you were called. He redeems the charcoal fire. He gives you his anxious presence. And then he reminds you who you are. I don't have time to go into all of this, but Jesus starts a conversation. They have this quiet meal together where we have no one speaking, no one talking, non-anxious presence. Jesus is serving. Jesus is generous. Jesus is healing. There's stillness. There's quiet. There's peace. There's ease. There's protection, rest, sovereignty. And then Jesus says, Peter, I need to ask you something. Do you love me? And he refers to him first as Simon. Simon is his old name. Simon means reed. Peter means rock. He says, reed, do you love me? He says, Lord, I love you. And then he asks again, reed, do you love me? Lord, I love you. And then he says, rock. Simon, Simon, Peter. Reed, reed, rock. Jesus, when you go through trauma, will remind you who you are. You are a rock. You are not a rock as opposed to a reed because of what you do. See, Peter didn't change his name. Peter didn't change his ways. God changed Peter's name, and God changed Peter's ways. See, you don't get from reed to rock by your own effort. It's grace. God gives you the ability to be who you really are, to be truly human. He reminds you who you are. And lastly, he declares to you and to me the end. You know how this is going to end? You know how this is going to finish? Has the trauma of 2020 rocked your faith? Has the deeply distressing and disturbing experiences, information, images, videos, concepts, ideologies, has it rocked you to your core? Are you wondering, who am I? Am I who I think I am? Let me tell you what Jesus does. He reminds you of how this is going to end. You know what he tells Peter? He says, you're going to die for me, Peter. Now, a lot of us think that's a negative, but for Peter, he always claimed he would die for Jesus. But by the time Jesus meets him for breakfast in the Lake of Galilee, he doesn't think he's going to end like that anymore. In fact, he thinks that the trauma he's been through is going to change his end. It's going to change his legacy. It's going to change who he is. But I want to remind you, this life is not how you start. I know it's cliche, but it really is how it ends up. It really is how you finish up. It really is how you complete. And I'm going to tell you how you're going to finish. And I'm going to tell you how I'm going to finish. We're going to finish strong. We're going to finish strong. And the end of this is victory. The end of this, although Peter would be hung upside down as a martyr for Jesus, and the only reason he was hung upside down when he died is because records tell us Peter thought, I'm not deserving to die like Jesus died. I want to die in a different way. Because there's no one like Jesus. Oh, Peter, you think this light momentary trauma is going to keep you from the end God has prepared for you? It will not. And I want to say this one last thing and I'm done. This is not your end. Please hear me, America. This is not your end. Please hear me, continents and countries around the world. This is not your end. This will not define us. This will not be the end of our story. This will not be the end to fight for true biblical justice around the world so that every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of the voice and creator of heaven and earth will feel dignity and will feel validity and will feel the value of who they really are before God. This is not our end. Some will say it's the end. It's the undoing. But I'm telling you, it's the beginning of all of God's plans for the future. And I'm believing for your family, for your soul, for your future, that you will end well. You'll end well. You'll end well. Talk to a friend, I'm done. Talked to a friend a couple days ago. And he said, I did an exercise recently, Judah. I went to my funeral in my imagination. And I imagined that if I lived selfishly, what would my funeral look like? And then I imagined if I would live like selflessly, what my funeral would look like. And I played both out. It's called reverse engineering. You go to the end and then you come back. And you say, that's not my end. This is my end. And the road of selfless Jesus living can be hard. But I can promise you this much, it ends well. Well, Judah, it didn't end well. Peter died naked, beaten, crucified, upside down. And it was his honor. Oh, he ended so well. Some say it's a tragedy. No. Peter willingly laid down his life for the realest thing in the universe, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. I love you, church. We have been traumatized. They say 2021 may continue more trauma, and it seems as if it has. But I can believe for the same Jesus that met Peter in his trauma. Is he not the same Jesus that will meet you in your trauma? I believe he will. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for the minutes and moments we share. We share around your story. We love you and we thank you. As we live in this traumatic time, we ask that you would meet us and experience us the same way you did for Peter. We thank you for that. If you're here and you're watching, wherever you are in the world, and you would like to receive the free gift of forgiveness that only Jesus offers. But the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever simply believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's free, you know. Forgiveness, salvation, relationship, a right relationship with your creator forever and ever without end. How's it possible? Through trusting the work of Jesus, not your own. He became sin so that you and I can become right with the creator of heaven and earth. If you'd like to make that decision right now to receive the free gift of forgiveness that only Jesus offers, just raise your hand, wherever you are. It seems silly at a cafe raising your hand, but I just believe when you respond on the outside to what's happening on the inside, it becomes all the more real to you. Jesus, thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl who's made this decision to receive your free forgiveness. We love you and we thank you. There is no one like you. And I just pray for our church that 2021 will be the most fulfilling and rewarding year to date. In Jesus' name, amen.